and thanks for being with us here on The New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshet Harel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about a really interesting topic, artificial intelligence. Robots, computers that can replace people and turn our world into something completely different. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, artificial intelligence is a branch in computers that allows computers to perform with the abilities that up till now were only the share of people. Technology is developing in these directions, and the basic idea is to develop a computer program that can decide on its own, taking into consideration all the parameters, meaning it's a learning program. It doesn't only have what it was programmed to do, but it can learn what to do in real time. When we look at the world, first of all, it ignites our imagination. There were movies about this, books about this, and throughout history, different machines were developed that replaced the function of human beings. If we're talking about chess, if we're talking about robots that can speak human language, that can imitate human speech, that can take complicated decisions, it has to do with sales, with service. Robots, externally wise, are becoming more and more similar to human beings. And also, we more and more relate to it as something human. Recently, there was an article about two robots that developed a language of their own. There's a robot that committed suicide. I suppose that it's a machine that stopped working, but our attitude towards it is more human-like. And on this show, we'd like to really hear, what do you think about all of these things, about this phenomena, from your point of view as a Kabbalist? What is your attitude towards artificial intelligence? If we look at the definition of what artificial intelligence is, it's the ability to think, understand. And I'd like to start with the question, what is intelligence? And can we replace human intelligence by artificial intelligence, by robots? If this is the specific question that you're asking, that I'd say undoubtedly so. I have no problem working with a machine instead of working with a human being. In most cases, it'll be preferable. This is one thing. Another thing is that I don't really see that much difference between man and that machine that you can build. If not now, then in 50 years and so on. But eventually, a person that we see, the people that we see in this world, they also behave as machines. There's nothing about them that we can say that they're intelligent beings. Let's understand, what does intelligence mean? Artificial intelligence or not artificial? A person was born with predetermined parameters. He's programmed by the environment how to behave. He perceives several internal, external programs, and he behaves accordingly. And there's nothing about it that any other machine can't perform. And so I don't see a difference between man and robot in this respect. The only thing I don't understand is, why are they making it in the shape of man? Head, hands, legs, what do you need it for? Make a box and have it do what you want. But by this, they want to bring us closer to the machines. Not the machines closer to us, but us closer to the machines. Here we have to see how it works both ways. And this is something else. We needed it in order to sell things and so on. But really, I don't see anything special about it that's beyond simple technology. Same plastic, same metal, microprocessors, and a few more parts that shape this machine. Even if it learns, what does it mean that it learns? Like a child learns. He looks at everything. He perceives these things according to his inner qualities, according to the program that he has received from his parents. He perceives things, puts them together, and every time his behavior changes, increases. Same with the machine. Of course, it can learn from all the phenomena that it absorbs. It can start connecting them on the inside. A machine that's inside a car or an aircraft and can control it, fly it. What's the problem? The pilot inside the plane, does he do something more complicated than a machine? He works like a machine. If you know the role of a pilot, he's 100% machine. He works according to standards and written rules, and therefore, this is the question. What is a robot or a machine compared to a human being that's also a robot, only this one is biological, and that one's made of metal and plastic? So what's the difference between them? This is simply biological matter, and that's mechanical matter, but it's the same. If we had the ability, we'd build man this way. Why deal with all the metal infrastructure, the motors and everything, until the robot turns its eyes and talks? You want to give it the shape of a woman? What for? So she'll catch your look and follow you? It'd be better if we could take biological matter. In the meantime, we can't, but maybe soon we will be able to do it and make something out of it. Some cute creature, like a cute dog, doesn't matter who or what. Do you think we'll be able to do it? What will we gain as a result? That's the question. To succeed, it's not a problem. Okay, a question about something you said. You said that in 50 years, robots will be able to replace humans more or less in everything. A washing machine. No, not a washing machine. You want to tell me that in 50 years, there will be a robot interviewer sitting here instead of me having a conversation with you? With me, I don't know. Depending on what. With me, it's something different. Not with you. With me. He'll be able to sit here and have a discussion with me? Yeah, but why should he look like a human being? You could put a box. No, I'm not talking about the external shape. I want to understand his abilities, its abilities, intelligent abilities. He'll have a program. And according to that program, he arranges everything. What he receives from me, according to different algorithms, puts them together and interviews me. He has to think about what you're saying. He has to listen. To listen, it's not a problem. It's all perceived. Thinking is a matter of comparison. Comparison between the new information and the previous information. Yeah, and computers do it. Okay, let's talk about your side. Everything that man does in this world, a robot can do too. Because the only difference is the matter the machine's made out of, whether it's biological matter or mechanical matter. Isn't there something more sophisticated about human beings that a machine can't replace? man in this world is operated only according to the will to receive pleasure that you can easily program in different states. If he doesn't know himself, then he thinks that he has fantasies and different things. He's operating within the framework of pleasure and only, and this is something that you can program. A robot doesn't feel pleasure, that's true. Biological cells do, but a robot can feel pleasure according to our parameters. Either it's spending less energy or it's being more compatible with the person that you're interacting with and so on and so forth. You can set up its different parameters according to which it'll work. Meaning, what's mostly beneficial? And this corresponds with our will to receive, which is our nature. This is from the robot's perspective, but from our perspective, it's still very surprising that we're working like machines according to algorithms. I see it as a children's game that you give a child a teddy bear and the teddy bear goes, ah, or a cat or a dog, a doll. So the child is also impressed by it. So we're impressed by it the very same way, that's it. We're all machines, people in this world. Yeah, of course. I'm telling him, this is biological matter. Sorry for pointing at this young man. And robots, it's also matter, only not biological. Meaning, you have to define what that is, but still, it's a computer that works according to a certain program, and we define the program. It can learn, that's true. Tell me, please. All of us talk on the phone, and we all saw the memory that they have in Intel or in Google. It's thousands of kilometers of memory and memory and memory. And then they start calculating, what should I sell? What should I do? Because there I spoke about this, and in another place I spoke about that. It's not a brain. It's a brain that makes comparisons, connects things, knows how to turn to me, how to show me a pretty face, present me with what I want, and so on. What's the difference? So it's a brain that makes comparisons and connections. That's the heart of the matter. Yeah. A few decades ago, when we wanted to find out what artificial intelligence is, we said that if we succeed in developing a computer or a robot, doesn't matter what, that if we'll sit in another room and have a conversation with it from a different room and we won't know that it's a machine, it's a sign that we have achieved a degree that we can really call artificial intelligence. Now, why am I bringing this up? You're talking to us. You're a person. I asked you 5 minutes ago, say, is it possible that in 50 years there will be a robot interviewer sitting here in front of you, interviewing you? You said, yes. Okay, so this is the situation. In 50 years from now, there's a robot sitting here interviewing a person. We put everything that we needed into its database and so on. The conversation begins. The man says something. I'm the robot, you're the man. You say something. You tell me about a certain idea. You feel something and you want to tell me about it. I'm the robot. My ability to perceive your idea, it's like that of a person a billion times greater. Why? Because you're unlimited, a billion times greater. That brain that we see in those memory boxes in Google, that brain, it perceives everything that humanity has. What's the problem? Okay, suppose what you just explained is a noetic ability. And you're saying that it'll be a billion times stronger than humans have. Now let's talk about different abilities and let's run a comparison. What about emotions? Emotions. It's all comparison. That's all there is. Is the outcome good or bad for me? These are our emotions. I don't understand. I'm sitting in front of you. You're a wise person. Sometimes there are things that you say that evoke different feelings in me, sometimes anger, sometimes joy. Then that machine could have complimented you so beautifully that you'd look at it and say, I love this box. This is if the robot would talk to me, obviously. I'm not asking about that. We're still in the situation. You're a human being. I'm in front of you. I'm listening. I'm a human being or a robot 50 years from now. You said that in terms of intellect, the robot is much better than I am. Now, 50 years from now, in front of you, there is sitting a man and a robot. You say something that touches me as a human being, excites me. What happens to the robot? Both of us are interviewing you. What's the difference between your excitement and his excitement? He can get excited, of course, what's the problem? But he's a robot. But he is a program that's called to be excited. He starts shaking. He looks at you and he's all like this. This is maybe an external expression that you can program it to shake, shiver. But on the inside, can it love, hate, get angry? It all depends on the current and tension inside its mechanisms. We work the very same way. Can robots fall in love? Love is a pleasure that I get from something. You're talking to a robot now. When I get pleasure from you, I develop a feedback of love towards you, a feedback called love. Why? Because I love what I receive from you. I love receiving from you. I feel pleasure as a result. Inside my system, there's such phenomena that I identify as something pleasant, but it's only androgens. You know what that is. Chemistry that we can receive in different ways. Besides the spiritual work that I don't know how to explain within the framework of these shows, but besides that, a robot and a person in this world are one and the same. Because if we're controlled by our ego, by our pleasures, by our deficiencies, no problem. Question. 50 years from now, a person interviews me. This is okay. No, not okay. You said a few things that I don't know what to do about, but I want to ask about a different situation, so maybe it'll help me understand. In 50 years from now, you call a hotel, a restaurant, something. You call some service provider. Will you be able to differentiate whether it's a robot or a human being? No. You can't differentiate? No. And I don't wanna. It's better if it's a robot. No, just a second. Is there something that you as a human being can do in order to get a clear indication that I'm now talking to a robot? No, it depends on how it was programmed. Maybe it was programmed that if he'll go, hey, what's up? What's going on? I want to register quickly. He'll tell me, mister, this is not customary here. Or he can tell me, wait a second, what's up? There are others that also want to register. This I understand. But wait a second, how will I know? This I understand. I'm asking something else. Will you know how to ask him or it's something that will give you an indication whether it's a robot? 50 years from now, there are two people sitting in front of you. They look like we do. I tell you, as a secret, one of us is a robot. How can you know if it's me or her? only on the spiritual level, meaning where we're not controlled by the will to receive, that you can program in every corporeal aspect, but these are things that have to do with the point in the heart. And since what we acquire here is the mechanism of the Creator, therefore we ourselves will not be able to reconstruct it or manipulate it in any way or anything. It's above our nature. But the egoistic will to receive, that's within the framework of our nature that enjoys or suffers, this is something that you can easily program and build machines accordingly. Meaning that in general, only we'll have a problem with the external form. No, suppose we'll do it perfectly. I hear they sell artificial dolls, dogs. Also in Japan, there's a phenomenon where people get married with robots. So you're saying that besides the spiritual aspect, there's no difference between man and robot. You mean a person in this world? Yeah, no difference. So in 50 years from now, when we'll develop artificial intelligence even more, a person will not be able to tell apart a robot from a human being. No. And he'll prefer for it to be a robot. We can also see it today, that people just want to lock themselves in their room and for everyone to leave them alone. And if I'll build a world out of these machines, then everything's going to be great. I'll also be able to walk into a shop and buy 10 or 20 of these puppets. And I'll program each of these puppets to do something else. And then I'll live with an artificial wife and children, and with different things at home. One does the laundry and another does something else. And I talk to them and everything, and they do everything I tell them to. I just have to know how to program them, how to charge them, and that's it. There's a doctor from the Tel Aviv University that says, tell me please, in your relations with your wife, don't you sometimes feel like changing her for a robot, that you want for her to behave in this and that way? It means that you want for her to be a robot. That's what we all want. It's true. Dr. Goren Gordon from the Tel Aviv University says that in the future, you won't be able to tell apart humans from robots. These will simply have human organs, and those will have synthetic organs. He says that already now. You have people walking around with pacemakers, memories. No, we're talking about intelligence, artificial intelligence. The thing is that we're giving it the ability to behave like a human being. It's not about having one or another device in our body. I also have different parts in my body. So he's saying that it's on its way. Right now it's only in the heart and other parts, but it can reach the brain and the memory. You'll get up in the morning, you'll charge your brain with some operating system or something. Yeah, I think that everyone would be interested in erasing something from the box and filling it with something else. Where is all this headed? It'll reach a state that a person will see that in his life, in this world, he's a beast and a robot, that he's completely controlled by his ego, the will to receive, and he has to rise above it in order to become a human being, an Adam. That in Hebrew means to be like the upper force, and not to be like we are now. And therefore it says about us that all are deemed as beasts, that we're operated by a simple program, and it's not a problem to build an artificial synthetic machine. Our program, the human program, what is it? The ego, the will to receive, the will to enjoy to the fullest according to our parameters. But according to all the parameters that I have, according to all the options that I see around me, I reach a certain decision to do this or to do that. Look how you're sitting, how you're like this, you're like that. You're calculating all the time to enjoy myself to the fullest. Yes. And if I take a robot and I program it with this algorithm to enjoy itself to the fullest in different states, changing states, and I enable it to learn, It'll work according to that same algorithm to enjoy itself to the fullest, and therefore there will be no difference between man and robot. Right. I remember that when I studied cybernetics in the university, we started from simple things. From here to here, you have the underground train. You have to speed it up to its maximum speed, but towards the next stop, you have to bring it down to zero. So do the math. You have to burn as little energy as possible, not losing your brakes and different other parameters, and you take all these things into account. You make a sum total, and you reach a formula. And this is the math that we do in every action in life, even in those actions that seem emotionally very complicated and so on. Thousands and thousands of calculations. The problem is that we can't do it, and therefore we get most of our calculations wrong. So the bottom line is, the only difference that will exist between man and robot in the future is the spiritual aspect that can develop in humans. Yes. So what is that spiritual aspect that man can develop and a robot can't? Connection with the Creator. This is something that man can develop in him if he identifies the godly point in him called the point in the heart. It's a godly part from above. It can't be in a robot. If it exists in a person, then it does. It can only exist in man, not in the still vegetative or the animate, and you can't pass it on to anyone, you can't buy it or pass it on. One last question. How does it change a person's operating program or operating system? This point is connected to the Creator, to the upper force, to an intelligence which is above our nature. We won't be able to take it and insert it into any artificial creature. Dr. Lightman, our time's up. This was extremely fascinating. Thank you very much. We'll talk about this some more in our next show. Thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.